Blog Talk Radio.
Around deepest voice, the sound.
bow down and worship him now. How great, how awesome is he. Yet we sing everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. Earth is filled with his glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. The earth is filled with his glory. And listen, I am. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. He bowed down and worship him now. How great, how awesome is he. Yet we sing everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. And the earth is filled with glory. And the earth is filled with glory. All around, it's the anthem of the Lord's renown. It's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. It's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. It's rising up all around. It's the anthem of the Lord's renown. Can we sing everyone sing? Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with glory. The earth is filled with glory.
For all I Oh. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for allowing us to enter in and come to your table this morning and bow down. We ask, God, your forgiveness. We ask your mercy. We ask your grace, Lord, as we come in with a heart of repentance, O God. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would keep the Apostle Millie this morning as her sister is in the hospital going through some type of test or complications. We ask, oh God, that you turn everything around for her good, oh God, and for your glory. We pray, Father God, that you would answer their request this morning. Lord, you are the God of hope. You are the God of mercy. We ask, God, as you have done for Hezekiah, do for Millie's sister today. Lord, extend her days, her life, her years. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. God, you are awesome in all your ways. And we honor you with everything that's within us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, we ask as we look at this word today that Apostle Millie was about to release, give us eyes to see and ears to hear what she has seen and what she has heard when she pulled this scripture up, that we may do justice to the word. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, her topic today was she had confidence. She have confidence in the Lord. Confidence in the Lord. This is the word that the Lord gave to her. Saying she have confidence. Psalm 46. And we want to work that scripture. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah. Psalm 46 is the word scripture that approximately got from the Lord, and she was going to come and tell us about it, but she got a call this morning that her sister, oldest sister, had taken ill, and she had to go to the hospital with her sister. But how many of you know that the work has to go on? We pray for her. We pray for her sister. Pray God would give her strength while she is assisting her sister, that she would be strong to show the strength of the Lord while she is standing and interceding for her sister. Hallelujah. Let us go into this word. The Bible says in Psalm 46, it says, for the music director, the sons of Korah. For the music director, the sons of Korah. God is our refuge and strength, a very sufficient help. You will have confidence. Because while you go through this time that we are living, this world that we're living in, you're going to have faced trials and tribulations. How you deal with them will make all the difference in your stay in this earth realm. How you respond to the trials and the tribulations. But when you know that the Lord is your confidence, He is your the one that you depend on, that you trust in, hallelujah, you'll be able to stand. Proverbs 18 and 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into it. There's a motivational word right here, Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10. When you know that you can go into Him, you can find peace, you can find rest, you can find joy. People sometimes will look at you and say, well, how come that he is so happy? How come she is so happy? It seems like all hell is breaking loose after them. They can't pay their car note, they can't pay their rent, they can't pay their mortgage, can't keep food on the table, can't keep the children in school, can't pay the school fees, but they are saying the Lord is their confidence. They're giving God glory in the midst of the storms, in the midst of the earthquakes. Proverbs 18, verse 1 says, true desire a man having separated himself seeketh and intermingleth with all wisdom. See, all wisdom come from God. And where you are going through, hallelujah, and you know that you serve a God that promised never to leave you or forsake you, that he'll be with you even on to the end, you'll have confidence. Do you hear me today? Now, Proverbs 18 and 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. He said a rich man's wealth is lifted up. And before honor is humility. No. A lot of people may be all excited and stuff when they get some money. But sooner or later, that money is going to go. It's not going to stay with you One is going to go. Are you going to go and leave the money, or the money going to go and leave you? But then you have the reassurance of the love of God. You'll never be broke. You'll never be without what you need. Because when you have God, you have exactly what you need, what everybody needs. Now he says, in matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him. You know, a lot of people, they're quick to answer. They don't even let you get a word out your mouth, but they want to give you an answer. Back to Psalm 46. Verse 2 says, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Hallelujah. I will still have confidence in the Lord. I'm still going to have confidence in the Lord because he told me that. All these things are going to happen. We are going to face all types of catastrophes, disasters. There are going to be tornadoes. There are going to be earthquakes. There are going to be trouble. People are going to get killed in your neighborhood. Family members are going to drop down dead. You're going to lose your job. You're going to lose your car. You may lose your home. But God is your strength. He is the one that you can have confidence in. This is what the woman of God was going to preach about this morning. But you see how things happen? She had was excited that how she was going to bring this message this morning. But God, there was another plan. This is where we always got to be prepared in season out of season, because you never know what's going to happen. Then she got a call to her eldest sister. Took ill, very ill. They had to rush her to the hospital, so she had to go. So we are dissecting this word here, Psalm 46, talking about having confidence. And we look at Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10 to 13 and verse 1, talking about the Lord is a strong tower. See, when you put your faith and your trust in the Lord, it doesn't matter what is coming to you. It doesn't matter what happened around you, because your faith is in him. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please him, but that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So as we continue to seek him, hallelujah, it doesn't matter what's happening, we still have strength. We will still be able to stand up strong and stand flat-footed, because our confidence and not in the job. It's not in the boss. It's not in the supervisor. It's not in that bank account. It's not in the house that we own. It's not in the cars. Oh, God, our confidence is the one who has the key to heaven and hell. Hallelujah. Our confidence is in the great sovereign Lord, the supreme God. Hallelujah. So David says here, he says, verse 3 says, though the waters there of roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, he said, Selah. He says, I am not going to be moved. Last night they had a 7.9 earthquake in Turkey. And that earthquake hit about five different countries. That's how big it is. Buildings just crushed like they were made out of pancake dough, out of flour. They just crumbled. You see, the buildings they make over there, they not have enough steel, have a lot of steel like the buildings that we build here in America. They don't have to go through all the different inspections like we go through here. So a lot of stuff when they have bombs and stuff, the buildings just crumble because they don't have any steel. A lot of people died. Early in the evening, they said over 100 people were dead, was already registered or counted as dead, deceased, and over 420 were maimed, either lost hand, foot, eye, or something, but they were hurt, injured, and they were still looking for bodies. Hundreds upon hundreds of people are on the rubble. Hallelujah. They didn't know what was going to happen. This is where we have to walk, and we have to stay safe. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to stay under the banner and blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. People are getting today, the people are too comfortable in themselves. And this is when stuff happens, they're shaken because they're not rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus. We are talking about knowing that the Lord is your confidence. Your confidence has to be in Christ. The woman of God says her confidence is in the Lord. She said, I have confidence in the Lord. In other words, she was sure everything that was going on in her life. She faced a sister, having a sister with breast cancer. This is a couple of years we've been praying and interceding for her, but she's still in the land of the living. Because this woman of God have confidence that God is able to heal her sister. God is able to keep her sister in the land of the living. And so far, God has been doing just that. Hallelujah. Keeping her in the land of the living. You have to have confidence in what God promised. God is a promise-keeping God. He is a light in the darkness, holy Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He is a promise-keeping God. Hallelujah. A light in darkness. So you can trust him. You can depend on him. It doesn't matter what's going on. David says, he said, though the waters roar and foam, and though mountains shake with a surging water, Selah, there is a river whose streams gladdens the city of God. Listen to David speaking. In the King James Version, he said, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. See, God, what are you going through? God provides everything that you need. Even though it seems like stuff is going, I just had an inbox from Africa. That somebody need help. Somebody sent me an inbox and said that we're going through so much that they're frustrated. They can only send some of the kids to school, but they don't have enough money to send all the kids to school. I told them, don't worry about it. A little later, I sent them some funds. We are not rich, but what little we have, we're going to help somebody. We're going to have somebody in need because that's my commission. That's the commission that God has given to me. I don't have $75 million like some of these bishops and apostles that goes back to the church and fleece the church, tell the church, you know, there's somebody in the congregation, there's a family in the congregation that need help. Why they have the money? They'll go back to the people in the church that on Social Security that having welfare checks and all that stuff to fleece them so they'll take care of the poor while the pastor, the bishops, they're living the high life. They got jets, they have yachts, they have all this stuff. They have houses in the Caribbean, houses in Hawaii, houses in Europe. But they can't help the poor and the fatherless and the orphans. They go back to the people, the middle class that's in the church. Ones that, you know, just barely got their head above water. And say, look, they just pay their tithes and pay their offerings. And they come back and says, I know you all pay your tithes and give your offerings, but we have a family. We have a family here in the church that need help. Fleece in the church. Here, this word is a very powerful word. Glory to God. We're going to go some other places. Because, you know, I didn't study this message, but you got to be able to pick up, if you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you got to be able to pick up the word of God and just teach straight from the word. You know how to say, well, I didn't write a sermon for this morning. If they call you to preach, you got to be ready. The Bible says you got to be ready in season, out of season. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give a reason for the hope that's in you. Hallelujah. Somebody wants to hear you say, well, I don't have my Bible with me. Well, you ought to have the Bible in you, not with you, in you. Listen. Verse 5 says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. God is going to help you. God is helping us, and he's helping us early. He's not waiting till tomorrow. Even the moment that you even thought about your needs, God already heard you. Before you open your mouth and say, Lord, I'm having some problems here with my telephone bill. I'm having some problems with my utility bills. Before you open your mouth, God already heard the thought in your heart. But I'm going to pray for God for some help, because it seems like everything is falling apart. Hallelujah. See, you've got to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. A lot of times what we are doing, we are putting our trust in the supervisor, in the manager. We are putting our trust in things, materialistic things, people, places, and things instead of God. And we expect God to help us. When God called us to go and minister to the poor, we find an excuse. Something is going wrong, so we can't minister. We do it all the time. You know, my daughter passed away in 2017, and when we had to do the eulogy, we still came on and turned on Blog Talk Radio. We ministered on Blog Talk Radio in the morning, and in the afternoon, we went and did the eulogy for my daughter. Why? Because she already did. There's people alive that need to get the living water from God. They need to get the word, the bread of life. They need to get the light of God to see where they are, to get out of darkness. And God has called us to do that. God has called us to tell somebody about him. He says, the heathen rage, the kingdoms were moved. He acted his voice, the earth melted. There's things happening all over the world. You look around, you see all this stuff going on. I was looking on YouTube last night, and I was going from different pages, different photos on YouTube, and I was looking at all those different buildings that were just crushed in Turkey, in Jordan, in Greece. Man, that earthquake hit so many different countries. Even all the way from Turkey into Israel, they were feeling the shaking from the earthquake. Hallelujah. Catastrophe, disasters everywhere. But we have a secure place in God, because the Bible says that a soul. It says that he is a strong tower. He's a secure place. We can go into him and find safety. If you truly trust him, depend on him, and relying on him, it doesn't matter what's going on. Sometimes I'm laying in him. I'm just laying in him. And don't have a dollar or two pennies to rub together. And I just said, Lord, you know, I need to have some people over here in Africa, in India, right here in the United States of America. I need to have some people. And Lord, I need to bless me with a couple of jobs. And before I could finish praying, somebody called me. Deacon so-and-so, who was a carpenter contractor, he called me. He said, well, you know, he says, some people called me up. They need this or need that. And, you know, I know you know your stuff, so I always put the stuff. I said, thank you, sir. God does, because he answers for us. We are his children. We are his workmanship. We have to put our trust in him, depend on him, rely on him. This is what the woman was going to minister about this morning. Her confidence, she's going through all types of hell. I mean, not only is she taking care of her family, she got a brother-in-law with feet out of getting one of his legs cut off because of diabetes. She got a sister how to get her breast removed because of cancer. She got a son-in-law was in trouble, sick. Her daughter had to go through all type of surgery. Her son-in-law goes, and all this stuff is going on around her. And she's still saying, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. If you're going to trust him, you got to trust him all the way. You can't trust him halfway. I'm just trying to work this scripture out that she gave us yesterday, because the word got to go forth anyway. Psalm 46, we're still in here. Here, Psalm 46, we are now. Verse 7. He said, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. See, here's the place. He's a strong place. He's a stronghold. He is a place that we can go in regards to what we're dealing with. He has the remedy. He has the antidote for everything that we face, regardless what it is. Hallelujah. Remember Paul going to Malta,
And when he hit the land, they was going by the fire to get warm because it was winter time. And they said a viper came out the fire. Listen to this. And clicked onto the man of God's hand. God is a doctor. Hallelujah. When you speak to me. And the people that got caught and thought he was some kind of God. Because after they said, well, look, you know what? This man is such a troubled man that even wherever he go, trouble is finally going to stick him. They thought he was going to fall over there. But after he didn't fall over there, they looked at him like he was a God. Paul just shake the stick off back in the fire. Didn't that? We got to know that God is there for us in every situation. He promises that. And we got to stand on, or you and I, all of us, we have to stand on the promises of God. It's going to get bad. And your faith, let me tell you something, the United States is going to get bad. And people, you think you're saying something now? It's going to get bad. With all of those means of people coming, you say, well, it's good that we're letting people come in here. They're looking for a better life. You know, I came in here back in the 1976. I came here to cut sugar cane, to immigrant, but I came in legally. I came in here by plane from the government, or the people here wouldn't cut no sugar cane. So we had to, they would immigrate people from the Caribbean, from Trinidad, from Jamaica, from Barbados, and they would bring them here to cut the sugar cane in Florida so they have sugar. Because the people here wouldn't cut the sugar. But I didn't like snakes, never liked snakes. Not even grass snakes, garden snakes. So once I get in the cane field, I see that they say the snake will go up on the tippity top because they burn the snake. They burn the fields first. That's what they do in Florida. They burn the fields first to try to get rid of snakes. And snakes will go up on the tippity top of the cane, right up to the top of the sun. And some would go down in the holes. They got snake holes. And I didn't know all that. But when I went in the cane field, I had come here. I think $375 my mother had given me. She wasn't a rich woman. She couldn't give me a couple thousand or something like that. She was poor. But she gave me what she had. Said, this will help you while you're there, because I had planned that I was going to leave the contract anyway. I was going to break the contract with the government because I wanted to stay in America. And I believed that God was going to make a way for me. My mother was a praying woman. And when I went out in the field the first day, Jamaican guy, he said, Hannibal. They call the snakes animal. You know, say Hannibal. And he swing his machete, cut that snake in half while the snake was coming through the air off the top of the cane. Would have hit one of us, but he says, snap that snake in half. And I went out the cane field. I was sick that day. And ever since that day, I was sick. Never went back in the field. And they would give me these capsules as big as a joint of my finger because the doctor couldn't tell what was wrong with me. He thought I'd pick up some type of virus because of the first time me traveling to America. But I was copping that thing that because I want to find a way how to get out of this, out of Florida, out of Belgrade, and get to some other state. We went into town because some of the guys want to pick up prostitutes. But I couldn't pick up no prostitute because I didn't want to spend none of my money. I didn't want to tamper with that money. That money was my way out of the country. And we find this Caucasian man, nice man, Christian man, and he was, he said, look, I'll drive you all to New York if you give me X amount of money. I can't remember how much he charges. But either way, I pay him, still had a little bit left over. And the other guys paid, and some of them couldn't, had money to pay. They had family in New York, and they figured I had nobody here. I had some family here that I didn't know. But I didn't ever wait to them. So we went into New York. I say all that to say that God was already making a way for us. He was our place that we was going into. He was making a way. We never had no problems. I never had any problems. Even when I had a fake Social Security number, never had no problems, you know, till I met my wife. And I only met her in 30 days, and I proposed to her. After 30 days, I just felt that she was the one. In my mind, I was thinking I was going to get my thing, but God said, no, this is the woman. This is her. I thought I was just going to get my green card and a work permit, and I'd be here because I was working with a phony ID, you know, wash at a dishwasher. Then I moved from a dishwasher to a short order cook because I was moving. I was doing everything. I was learning fast. Then I was driving tractor trailer. I was moving. I was driving without license. I had no license. I was driving, you know, because I want to be in America, you know. But with all this stuff that we got, these people coming over the border, they not. I come in the legal way, but then I became illegal because I broke the contract. But they don't. They're coming in here and then they're killing the people, you know. And then they're bringing all of these drugs. People, they say, last night I was watching something, the man was saying how many hundreds of people are dying every day. Americans, not foreigners, not immigrants. A lot of immigrants are dying too, but a lot of Americans are dying from that fentanyl. So many people are dying that the scientists have to go and make an antidote to shoot up people with, not shooting up the people that who have drug addiction, because it. So that when they use the fentanyl, they wouldn't die. You know? So there's a lot of stuff going. We need God, and America needs God more than ever before. And this is what the preachers should be doing, spending time bringing the prayer warriors together. If they can get together every single day. At least 2-3 times a week. Praying for this nation, because this nation is not going to change unless the God's people intercede for them. Because he said so. If my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, he said, I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. The Bible said that when Solomon finished praying, that the glory came down and filled the house. And not even the priests, the people, congregation, nobody could enter because of the glory of God. We got to pray more. We got to put our confidence and trust in God for what only he can do. The psalmist here is celebrating the presence of the Lord and protection. These psalms is focused on God's presence in Jerusalem. Zion is the location of Jerusalem temple. Now, after identifying God as the provider of refuge and strength, the psalmist celebrates his protection in natural disasters. See, some of us only want to praise God when we get a raise on our job. When somebody bless us with a big check. When somebody give us a new car. And we say, well, I got a new car. I don't even have to pay for it. Somebody bless me. New suit, new robes. But when stuff is going on, we can't, why is God letting all this stuff happen to me? That's what we do. We complain instead of praising him even in the disaster because he's still God. He doesn't change. The psalmist is praying in the natural disasters from enemy nations. The psalmist invites people to behold God's works in general. He quotes God and concludes by reaffirming his protection and presence. See, here in this psalm here, hallelujah, the psalmist is just lifting up the name of God. He is just glorifying God in the midst of all this stuff, this earthquake going on. There's rivers raging. The water's coming down the mountains like never tomorrow. Rushing down the hill. The Bible tells you this. But the psalmist is still praising God because he's saying that God is in the midst of the waters. And when God is in the midst of the storm, it doesn't matter how the storm is raging, he said, peace, be still. He speaks to the storms of our lives. This is why we can have confidence in him. We can put our confidence in him and trust him. Your mouth is going through all type of hell. The devil don't want you to stay hooked up to your husband. Doesn't want you to stay hooked up to your wife. So he's bringing all types of attacks. Wants you to commit adultery. Wants you to go outside and look for a younger man or look for a younger woman. All this stuff because he knows that when you stay together, that you have the power of God resting upon you. Because that's the commitment God made to the marriage in the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. And Satan don't want that. So you have to say, even though we're having some ups and downs in our marriage, I'm going to trust God to smooth it out. He's going to give us what we need to talk to our husband, to talk to our wives. We have to spend time talking to our children and grandchildren. The children now are killing one another. I've never seen or heard of so many young people killing each other. It's like it's a game. It makes them feel that when they get stabbed, they stab somebody, they're not going to die. Or when they shoot somebody, they're not going to. Because after they shoot or stab somebody, they run and hide. They didn't believe that they was going to fall over dead. We got to talk to our children. People are spending more time with the telephones and internet and Twitter and Instagram and Periscope and all these different entities. They're staying up with the media, and they're not spending time talking to the children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. We used to pray in the morning before we leave for school in my country. And even when we get to school, we had to say the Lord's Prayer first thing in the morning. They would have us say the Lord's Prayer in the school before the teacher started to teach. So we had a foundation to build on. They take that out of school. They bring the homosexuals in the school, the lesbians. The drag queens are bringing the school, but they take prayer out of school. And the Christians, all of these great pastors should be everywhere protesting that. I said, well, that don't bother me now. Cause we, and then the big pastors that got the millions, have the means in the business, they say we are really evolving. And they go on TV and they say we're evolving. The church is evolving. Church is evolving. Church is evolving into the mess that the devil is putting in all over the nations. Pastors should be protesting. Get out your building. Drive over to the schools and stand up and protest. Get some banners. Go down by Capitol Hill. Go down by the White House. Go whatever city you're in. You got the government of your city. Go over by the government business and protest. Put that praise in the school. Put it back in the school. When kids, little boy, 6 years old, can shoot his teacher, and teacher got to be fighting for her life. You know we're in a bad place. I grew up till I was about 19 years old in the country. I ain't never seen no kid going to school and shoot nobody, shoot no teacher. Not even stab a teacher. We're in a bad time. This is why we got to put our confidence in God. Our confidence has to be rooted and grounded in him. And we have to show our children the way. The Bible says, train up a child in the way it should go. And when it grows, it will not depart. We on the TV. We on the cell phone. We are texting the kids, grandkids, great-grandkids. Kids, they're trying to talk to us. But we are busy trying to text somebody. The internet, Amazon or someplace, a Walmart site. We're searching to see if we can get a bargain. And our kids need to hear from us, need to hear the truth of God's word from us to give them a foundation. But we are busy. We are too busy. We are not building up the next generation. It's like a ladder without steps. It's like a ladder without steps. They don't have a foundation. Every time they try to step, they slip because there's no step. We're not giving them what they need. We're busy trying to keep up with the Joneses. We're looking for sales and discounts while our children are dying and going to hell. And then we get up and we're crying, oh, he was a good boy, she was a good girl. Going to church. The daddy going to church when they feel like. Don't teach the kids what they need to know. He says, verse 8 says, come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations hath he made in the earth. Look and see what God has done. All the great things he has done. Glory to God. And then you look and see the things that he had to destroy because of sin. Because of the abomination, the desolation in the earth. God had to destroy himself. Don't pray for this nation and for the nations. We're going to step into World War III quicker than you know. Quicker than you know or expect. And people are going to be laying in their homes, watching TV, and they're going to hear bombs hitting all over the United States. You can take it as a prophetic word. Because we have become too comfortable in our little cubicle. We have become too comfortable in our gated communities. We have become too comfortable in our mansions. We have our planes. We have our jets. We have our yachts. We can go to any restaurant. We've become too comfortable. And God says that we have to pray. Not going there praying, God, I want this, I want that. God already knows what you need. God, I just want you to bless me. God already knows you need a blessing, and he had already prepared a blessing for you. Here's your strong tower. He says, he maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. This is the God. This is the way you can have confidence in him. Psalm 46. This is what a woman was going to preach on this morning. But earlier she got a call. Her sister had to be rushed to the hospital, fighting for her life right now. But God says that he caused wars to cease unto the end of the earth, and he breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. God is your defense. He is your mighty battle axe. He's the one that you can trust, that you can have confidence. Everybody gonna fail you. Your husband, your wife, your children, my God, your son, your daughter. They're going to fail us from time to time, but God will never fail us. You can have confidence in him. If he said he will do it, he will do it, and it shall come to pass. He's going to do it. What happened with us? We give up on God too quick, or we have a microwave mindset. We want everything like yesterday. That's why so many people are getting sick. They got to go to McDonald's and eat that crap. They got to go to Hardee's or Wendy's or one of them fast food places. They can't be the cook. I love to cook. My wife want to go here all the time. I said, no, I don't like going there. I don't know what the people put in the food. I buy my meat. I buy my fish. And I got all different types of spices. I got all kind of herbs. Do you see what the pharmaceuticals are doing right now? Big pharma. There's 51 healing herbs, powerful healing herbs that they have determined will heal a person's body. And Big Pharma is coming now to ban those 51 herbs, natural herbs. Why? Because they want to keep making that crap that they give you to sell you over the counter, or the doctor prescribed for you to kill you. Keep you coming back, because you don't get healed, you get sicker and sicker. Then they prescribe another medicine for you, and another medicine. This is what they do. Be still and know that I am God, he says. I will be exalted among the heathens. I will be exalted in the earth. God said this. We have to praise him. We have to glorify him. We got to let him know that he is the sovereign Lord. He knows who he is, but we have to let the other people know, the heathens know, that we serve a righteous God, a holy God, the one who sits high and look low. We serve the one who spoke it into existence. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let us make man in our own image. And he breathed into man, oh God, his very spirit. Ah, my God. And man became a living soul. We got to testify. We got to glorify. In the midst of what's going on, we got to say, I don't care what's going on. I know my God is able to bring me out. We got to have that confidence. We have to have that assurance. Hallelujah. Don't matter what's going on. I say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that this is broken. I know you're going to have it fixed. I know you're going to give me all that I need to fix it. Thank you right now. Go, glory to God. When my son was facing 22 years for nothing, for a little bit of marijuana, I went into prayer. Had the prayer wars praying all over the place. Africa, India, here in America, praying, Caribbean praying. And I got a word while we was praying. And I tell my son, you're not going to spend 22 years. You're going to, they're going to reduce your time. He got 2 years from 22 years. He's home now. He's home. He's been home. Got the same job. And God bless us the blessing with a new 4x4 truck, pickup truck, so he can keep working. You don't have to go in with foolishness. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Sure, King, that we know that he is our refuge. He's the one that we are trusting, the one that we are dependent on. The psalmist describes not just catastrophes such as earthquakes, stormy waters, and unstable mountains, which symbolize the forces of chaos in the ancient Near East. These verses record God's power over chaos as evidence in creation. God is God over every element. You remember when in the boat with the disciples and the storm came, and the Bible talks about the wind was raging, the waters was kicking up, doing what it was doing, and the water was coming in the boat, and Jesus was sleeping. He was sleeping back in the back. You can imagine that water was hitting on Jesus. Because, I mean, they said the water's coming over the side of the boat, almost about to sink. And the disciples go back then, begin to shake him and push him and pinch him and all type of stuff. And they say, Rabbi, don't you care that we perish? And Jesus got up and talked to them, speak to them, you little faith you got. And he looked at the wind, looked at the water, and said, be still. Because he's the God of all the elements. Hallelujah. He could sit at a well, Jacob's well, waiting to speak to an adulterous woman in the heat of the day, 120-some degree temperature. Because that's how hot it gets in Israel. My son was there, he told me. He said, Dad, I've never experienced sun this hot. It seemed like you was right underneath the sun. And Jesus sat on a well. He's not getting burned because he controlled the sun, the temperature of the sun, waiting for just so he can minister to a woman that was caught in that was an adulterous woman. She had five husbands. Neither one was hers. And Jesus talked to her about living water. She tells Jesus, you don't have a rope and a bucket to draw water in the well is deep. And Jesus said, I'll give you water. That you get this water, you will never thirst. He said, give it to me, sir. And Jesus began to talk to her and ask about a husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, you are well spoken. Because the one you got even now, right now, is not your husband. My God, the woman leave her buckets, leave her water pots, her clear jars, and go back into town. She's an evangelist now. And evangelize the whole city. Say, come on up. I want you to show your man to tell me all about myself. See, because then you've got confidence. She picked up confidence right there at the well. I got to tell somebody, this man has touched me with his words. We have to have this kind of confidence that when people hear us, they know that we had an encounter with Jesus Christ. But we have confidence when it seems like we are being blessed because we have got a raise on our job. Everything is working well. Hallelujah. When something is going on that it costs you, you lose confidence. You start become worried. Not trusting that God is able to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. You don't trust him that much. You start worrying about the things that are happening around you instead of doing what God called you to do. This is what God does. He's powerful. Let's go into the word of God. Break down some more of this stuff here. Here in his book here, it says that there's a river whose stream gladdens, contrasts the chaotic waters of and symbolize God's blessing and renewal. The term miskan, the Greek word here, meaning habitation or dwelling, refers to the temple in Psalm 26, verse 8, Psalm 43, verse 3. The Hebrew name used here, Elyon, emphasizes God's supremacy as ruler and judge over the entire earth. You remember Melchizedek in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and 8. He says that first used the name in Genesis 14 and 18. He is the supreme God that sits high and looks low. Nothing happens on earth that heaven does not know. And there's no disaster on earth that heaven cannot correct. You guys know this. In contrast with the mountains of Psalm 46, verse 2, the mountain of God will not be moved. It is a secure place of refuge. Hallelujah. The mountain of God is a secure place. And this is what we have to be focused on. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You ought to have this thing written on your the breastplate of your own heart, the name of the Lord. See that when trials and tribulations come, all I'm doing is thinking about God. Hallelujah. With 75% blockage of my artery and 35% blockage, I'm trusting him. You going out to preach to teach the gospel. I'm not a prolific preacher. I preach by the Holy Ghost. He is. But the doctor said, you going to go? I said, yes, I'm going to go. He said, well, are you going to go? I said, yeah, I'm going to go. Because if I die doing what God's called me to do, and I know he did, I'm going to be with him instantly. Because my word told me to be absent from the body, it should be present with the Lord. I'm going to be with him instantly. My flesh is still going to be here because the flesh can't go there. The flesh is filthy. My flesh is filthy. I don't know about yours, but mine is filthy. But my soul man has been transformed, has been renewed. It's going to be moved. It's going to be translated from here right away with him. Because I've made a decision that I'm going to serve him. I'm going to do whatsoever he called me to do. Not saying that I am perfect. That's not what I'm trying to tell you. But I'm being perfected every day that I seek his face. I'm being perfected. Why? Because he's exposing some part of me, some thought in me, some action in me that need to change to become more like him. Bro, we brag about how good we are, how long we were preaching, how many degrees we have, and the walls are filled with the degrees and all that stuff. God said, I'm not moved with how long you preach. I'm not moved with how much degrees you have on the wall. I'm moved with how you love, how obedient you are, how persistent and consistent you are to serving me. That's what moved God. Obedience. King Saul. He make all these sacrifices to God. He had all these thousands of goats and rams and bulls and all this stuff that he gave to God, gold and silver and all this stuff that he got from the battle. But one thing he didn't give to God was obedience. And the prophet said, you think that the gifts move God? He said, God requires obedience, not sacrifice. And he said, rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. When you rebel against God and doing what you want to do, what make you feel good, it's just like you performing some witchcraft ritual. You're doing what you want to do. Pastor can tell you that when my daughter died, man, I still come on Blog Talk Radio. That was a life that gone. And I still came on and preached the gospel. And then went the afternoon and do the eulogy. Because why? It's serving him, not my daughter. Hallelujah. It's about knowing that he is there for me. See, he's going to be there for me because when he called me, I'm there for him. The Hebrew title, listen. The voice of God is enough to turn away the threats of the raging of enemy nations that plot to overthrow his people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Psalm 2, verse 1 to 3. Psalm 29, verse 3 to 9. Now, the Hebrew term used here for God is Yahweh. He said, refers to him as the commander of heavenly armies. Chapter 24, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9. We ministered that the other day, on Saturday. He said, the psalmist encouraged the congregation to examine the works of God. He uses imageries of weapons, bows, spears, chariots, to show God's power over enemy nations. By looking at God's military power, the people can have confidence knowing that God is their refuge. Psalm 46, verse 1. No. We go through so much. So much from day to day. But when we put our confidence in Christ Jesus, we come out victorious. Somebody said, I don't know why he's praying. I don't know why she's praying. It seems like her son is going through this. Her daughter is going through this. Her husband, his wife, his sister, his daughter. But he said pray. She said pray. But when we get to the end of the road, they see that death. She is victorious. She is victorious. Then they said, well, I now understand why they kept praying in the midst of all the reports that they were getting. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm teaching my son that he is 38 years old. And I'm teaching him now how to trust God. I tell him to begin to speak what God says. Doesn't matter what it looks like, hell is still going to break loose because that's what hell does. Hell is not going to stop breaking loose if you've been preaching for 45, 55, 65 years. Hell is still going to break loose. Why is hell going to break loose, Apostle? Because you are a threat to hell. It has to break loose after you, after your children, after your grandchildren, after your money, after your job, after everything that you have, your cats, your dog, your parakeet. Hell is going to break loose to distract you because of who you are and who you are. I tell my son this. I said, no. You're going to have trials and tribulations. But if you put your trust in God, God is going to see you through every single one. It doesn't matter how big they get. And if it comes to finances, God going to make a way for you to take care of whatever situation you're dealing with. The bull symbolizes strength. But he breaks the bull. The bull symbolizes strength. He breaks the bull in Psalm 46. The bulls of the enemies that are wanting to destroy his people. Be still. The term Rapha means to release or to let go. Psalm 37 verse 8. Job 27 verse 6. God commands the forces of chaos and the nations to stop their raging and recognize him as God. Psalm 46, verse 2 and 3. Psalm 2, verse 10 and 12. This God that we're talking about, that is our refuge and our strength, the one that we have confidence in, the Psalm of God kingship or enthronement, encourages all people to loudly praise God as king over all the earth. It begins with an exhortation for all people to clap and shout loudly to God, the great and victorious king who establishes his people. Verse 2 to 4. The psalm describes God's ascension to the throne amid cause to praise him. Verse 5 to 7. The psalm then describes God's reign over the nations and the people of Israel. Verse 8 to 9. This is what God wants us to see. How he wants us to see him. He wants us to see him as the sovereign God, the mighty God. He wants us to see him as a mighty battle axe, the one that would destroy the enemy that comes against us, his people. The one who stands guard for us because we are the sheep of his pasture. He will not allow the wolves to come in and destroy us. This is the God that I'm talking about. He said, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. God said, I don't want you to get fearful because of the things that are happening and the things that are going to happen. Because I've already told you before that in this world you will have trials and tribulations. But remember, I overcome. Well, God said, because he overcome, we are overcome too, because we are in him and he is in us. And when we know that, we don't have to be afraid. We walk with boldness. Even though we could lose our life, we walk with boldness because we know he is our protector. We are not trying to save our life. God's in control. Let's go to another one here. Let's go to Psalm 27 and verse 3. Just see if we can pull up some stuff inside here quick, fast, in a hurry. Jesus, have mercy. The scripture is so right on time. He says, though an army encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, even in this, I will remain confident. This is what the psalmist is saying. David is speaking because he have an understanding that God will never forsake him and he will never leave him. A camp against a siege in ancient Near East warfare involves blocking off any route in or out of a city, often resulting in famine. But David says in 2 Kings chapter 6, read it in your time, verse 25 to verse 30. It is powerful because when things are happening, the famines are coming, the viruses are coming, we have to trust God. We have to trust God. We have to rely on God. We are so fearful of dying, and don't you know you're dying? Because you're dying without trusting him. You're dying without trusting him. He said the life you try to save is the life you will lose. But if you lose your life for his in their sake, you will gain it. Hallelujah. Let's go to another one. Go to Proverbs 14 and 16. Proverbs 14 and 16. I want to give you a little bit of stuff because, you know, when the preacher's got to go somewhere, you got to be ready to roll. You got to be ready to roll. There's nothing stop the word of God from going forth. Hallelujah. You got to be ready to go. You got to be ready to go. Proverbs 14 and 16. The wise is cautious and turns from evil, but the fool throws off restraint and is confident. Let's read that again. Hallelujah. The wise is cautious and turns from evil. That's the wise person. See, if you're being instructed by God, because wisdom comes from the Lord. If you are being instructed by the Lord, you're not going to get all jammed in a lot of foolishness. When I was getting high in the world, I was drugging and drinking all that stuff and womanizing. Man, I got in a whole bunch of crap. But you know, the only reason that I didn't get locked up and spend time in jail? Because God had a plan for me. I told you already that I was shot at close range with a 9mm trying to purchase crack cocaine, and not one bullet went through me. And the young man looked at his gun, couldn't believe that neither bullet killed me. The young woman that I was trying to get the cocaine for drive off in her 4x4 truck, Nissan pickup truck. Tell her father I was dead, killed in Washington, D.C. But God had a plan for me. You see, but when you got the word of God inside of you, when you have the wisdom of God, you don't go places that you know you shouldn't go. Why? Because the spirit of the word, remember the Bible said the letter killeth, but the spirit give life. The spirit of the letter will not allow you to go certain places. If I go down Boston, downtown Boston now, where I know people are shooting heroin, they're smoking methamphetamine, I'm not going down there. I'm not weak. I'm very active at 73 years old. I can take care of myself. But I'm not going down there to minister to them by myself. Because when Jesus sent them out 2x2. I'm going to call up a deacon friend of mine or a minister friend of mine and say, look, I want to go down Cambridge. I want to go down Malapan. I want to go down Dorchester. I go down Jamaica Plain. I want to go down there and minister this weekend. Can you go with me? Well, if he can't go, I said, well, I'm not going. Why? Because he sent them out 2x2. Why would I go down there by myself and I can't see behind me? I can't see the other side. Yes, the Holy Spirit, the Bible said that. He guards your rearward. He protects your rearward. But he tell you also you got to use wisdom. If you can't go with somebody, don't go. Don't go down there while you're trying to preach against sin and all this stuff that's going on. Somebody come behind you and drive a knife in your back. You know what I'm saying? You got to use wisdom. So the wise is cautious and turn from evil, but the fool shows off restraints and is confident. And is confident. You're throwing it off. You get away from all that stuff that would take you out. You are confident in the Lord. He says from evil refers both to rejecting wickedness and pursuing good. This is what you do. Psalm 34 verses 14. Psalm 37 verse 27. All of this is talking about being confident in the Lord. Where you know that you know. Hallelujah. Let's go to another one. Let's go to Romans chapter 2 and 19. Romans chapter 2 and 19. Got a lot of computers here, working for me right now. Amplified Bible. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. You have to be, you're confident. Your trust has to be completely in God. You know, we get trust as, I'm going to trust God because I'm planning for a new job, and I'm going to trust God to really touch the heart of the man so I get this job. Once you get the job, where did confidence go? You know, once you get the job, you don't think about God anymore. Just like folk getting married, and they say, you promised to love and cherish this woman or this man in health, sickness and health, for rich and for poor, unto death do us. You say, he said, yes, I do. He said, you promise to keep her, cherish her, love her, and all that we say. They say, I will. But 3 months down the road, they said they don't. 3 months down the road, they said, I won't. Why? Because they don't have confidence. They don't have confidence in what the proposal that they made before God and man, that they lose the confidence. We have to be confident in God with everything. Say, not just something. We just, oh, God, I just have confidence now in what I can get. Hallelujah. Romans 2 and 19. Amplified Bible says, and if you're confident that you yourselves are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, and that you are a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the childish, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth. Listen to what Paul is saying right here. See, if you know that you're confident in that what you have, hallelujah, you can lead people out of darkness. Those that are blind, they're blind to truth. This is what he's talking about. You can lead them out of darkness. You can correct the foolish, those that think they're so smart. But you correct them in love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You have the confidence in the one that you're serving. This, you can read this a little further down, but we don't want to go no further there. You can correct the foolish. Some people that they know two scriptures and they will push their chest up because they think they know more than everybody else. But the key is not knowing more. Let me tell you what the key is. The key is living what you know. Living what you know. See, I have read this Bible several times from Genesis to Revelation. I don't know it all. But what little I know that I have to live holy. I know that I have to treat my brother the way I need my brother to treat me. I know I have to be willing to forgive people because I need them to forgive me. I know I need to love people because I want them to love me. I know I can't use no con games because con games will get you killed. It will get you in hell. So I have to be truthful in everything that I do, even if I lose. I might lose the man, but not with God. You know, let me give you a little scenario. I bought a machine last year, and to make my work easy, I got several torches. I got turbo torches and different small torches and big torches. You know, they can heat up the pipe real fast to braise the pipe when I'm doing air conditioning work and stuff like that. But I bought this machine that I can, when I go in a house, if I'm working the close corners, I can use different fittings and stuff. And I'm sharing this for you because this is something that you need to hear. You need to hear this from my mouth. And I was doing a job last year, putting some filters in the house. And I want me to do some more work, but one of the connections, one of the rings that crimped the pipe, you got a half-inch ring and a three-quarter-inch ring and a one-inch ring. The rings goes up higher. You know, but these are the only three that I have with this machine I bought. Because the real machine that is electric, it costs about $2,200, some up to $3,000. But I got one that I have to pump, like it's a hydraulic. And it only costs like $108. It does the same job as the one that costs $2,300 or $3,000. Well, I misplaced one of the rings. And let me tell you what my flesh was telling me, okay, because I want you to hear this from David Callender. My flesh was telling me, look, go back to Amazon because they don't sell the rings separate. You can't say, well, I want a half-inch ring for the hydraulic tool or three-quarter one-inch. Listen to this. My flesh tells me, and I've been doing this for a long time, my flesh tells me, go back to Amazon and order the same tool. You know, you got 30 days, you can return the tool. Then you can go and do this other job, and after you do the job, you keep the half a ring that you need and turn by the new tool, because you're not going to use the new tool, you just need the half a ring to use in your tool. And tell them, because I always ask you, well, you don't want the tool. You say, well, it wasn't complete or it was defective or something. But the Spirit of God, see, this is when you have the Word of God. The confidence is in the Word of God. The Spirit of this Word tells me, he said, don't do that. He said, you'll be deceptive. The Holy Spirit tells me this. So now yesterday, I says, my wife and my granddaughter, they're gone. So I said, it was a pretty good day. So whether we had the day before was so bad. But yesterday, it feels like it was summertime. You know, 35 degrees, 40 degrees is like summertime. So I said, well, you know, I'm cleaning up my truck for a long time because I took two back seats out. So I got my tools behind there, you know, all this stuff. I said, let me go in there and clean up the truck and get the dust out of there and all stuff and clean the tarps out because I have a plastic tarp down, not to mess the carpet up. And do you know while I was cleaning the truck out, that ever happened to that a ring that I was looking for that I thought I left some job somewhere was in one of the boxes? And I had to say, Lord, I thank you. See, there's many things like that would stop you from getting into heaven, and you think the preacher don't know. Well, the preacher don't know, so you're all right. But guess who knows? God knows. And he corrected me even before I made that mistake. Because I told the truth. I was ready to go to Amazon and get it then. And my flesh was saying, you know, Amazon and them people, they got billionaires. They can afford to turn a piece of tool back to the manufacturer and they get their money back. But he would not allow me to do it. This is what you call about. It's not about knowing this whole Bible. Oh, you're so prolific speaker. You got all this stuff together. It's about living what you know. This is what your confidence is. Your confidence is in Christ Jesus, the Lord. So you live what you know. This is what the woman of God was going to preach about today. Psalm 46, but we did that already. We worked that already. You have to have confidence in what God is saying. This word is not in this Bible just for Joe, for you to play with, that you can preach today and then go steal tonight. You can go preach this word and with great tenacity and then you're lying. You cheating, conniving, running games on people. This is not for this. You have to be honest in all that you do. You got to be honest, not in some things. You got to be honest in every single thing that you do. Why? If you want to go to heaven. If you want to see the master and hear him say, well done, that good and faithful servant. If you want to be in paradise with him, you have to make some, thank you, Holy Spirit. We have to make, constantly making changes because that old sleuth of the devil is not giving up on us. He still wants us to be in hell with him. No matter how long you've been preaching, a lot of us boast about how long we've been preaching, 60 years, 70 years, 40 years, 90 years. We preach, we boast about how long we've been preaching, how long we've been saved, how long we've been baptized. But that don't get you in heaven. That's what Paul says. We got to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Because why? Even Paul knew that we were going to be tested. Your faith, your walk will be tested. That's why your confidence got to be completely in Christ Jesus. And not to say, my confidence in Christ Jesus because I love him. My confidence is in him because I got to obey him. I need to obey him to see him and hear him say, well done, that good and fair. I didn't have to tell you that. But so somebody out there need to know that because somebody out there still using tricks, using games. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 4. He said, lest if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared for the generosity, we, to say nothing of yourselves, be humiliated for our being so confident. There's no need for us to be puffed up. Let me tell you this. Doesn't matter how long we've been doing this. I've left churches, buildings, facilities with great preachers, bishops, apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers. I've left the house. Because the men and women could preach with fire. But their lifestyle didn't say to me that they were confident in Christ Jesus. See, when we take on the characteristics of God, the living Savior, something must change in us. But if we said we take on the characteristics of Christ Jesus, but we still want to use tricks on people to get what we need, something is wrong with the picture. We're going to hell. We're going to bust hell wide open. And this is what the devil is interested in. He is interested in derailing us to make us feel that we have it together because we've been preaching for 45, 55 years. We have five church buildings. We have ordained X amount of people. And all we're doing is pushing our chest up. And where your chest is up, it's pushed up. You just can't see your own heart. You can't say because your chest is too pushed too high. You just can't see your own heart. The defilement that's in your own heart. I try to stay humble. Preacher told me one time, he said, Apostle, don't mess with the sheep. Sheep are foolish. He was a bishop. And I said to myself, how am I going to get the sheep to follow the instruction that God's given me for them? If I don't mess with them, they're God's sheep. And ever since that day, I started to look at that bishop different. And what happened is, I found out that he was a homosexual. He was preaching with fire. The word of God was coming out of him with fire. But he was on his way to hell because he wouldn't repent. And I had to pull away from him. Because one time we was at a convocation in South Carolina, a big convocation with thousands of people. But a lot of people was getting ordained. And I was staying in a hotel. He was at a hotel with other people, with his wife and stuff and stuff. And when he come over to our hotel, we had some other advisors and stuff was with up there. And he tried to talk to me about something because there was some stuff that was going on that I wasn't agreeing with. And he tried to touch my leg. I said, don't do that. I tell you, don't do that. Because right there, I know I was going to prison. See? I know I was going to go to prison. I'm just going to tell you. Because, see, I'm saved, but I would not say. Because once he started my honey, I was going to mess him up real bad. I told him, don't do that. Don't do that. And I left the church. Because he thought he could rope me into that homosexual stuff. See, you can preach that stuff, and God's word is so powerful, and it still do what it's supposed to do. But you can preach it with fire under the anointing and still go to hell. Because if you don't obey what God's word requires us, we have confidence in the word. The word is saying something to us that we must do. We're not preaching just to preach, say, to sound eloquent. Well, she knows a lot of stuff. She knows the Bible. She knows all that. He knows all that. That's well and good. Somebody might get saved from what you see. But are you saved? Am I truly saved? Am I working up my salvation with fear and trembling? Am I living with expectation that Jesus might come at any time? He might call me out of this world at any time. Am I ready to go back with him? Am I living a ready life, a prepared life? I'm talking about the Lord. I have confidence in the Lord. This was the topic of the Word of God. I haven't changed it. I could have preached another sermon. But I said this is what she would have preached if she was here. She's at the hospital with her sister fighting for her life. And I said, no, I'm going to work the same thing because the same God that's in her is in me. And God is saying, if you have confidence in my word, you must obey my word. You'll obey my word. If you truly have confidence in the word of God, the word that I'm giving you from by the Spirit, you will obey God. Run around with your chest push up like you all that in a bag of chips and a Pepsi-Cola. But you're not having confidence. Your true confidence should be in him to obey him. I don't want anything from you that you don't want me to have. I'll come to your house. You can have your diamonds, you have your gold everywhere, your wallet everywhere. Because if you come to my house, my wallet is on the coffee table. If I got to hide it, you can't come back here. And if I come to your house, you got to hide your wallet. I ain't coming back to your house. I tell you that right now. And you got some people that they will go in your wallet. But if you know they will go in your wallet, why would you invite them to your house? Why would you invite them to your house? I got a diamond ring there. I've got about 24 diamonds in it. I leave it all over the house. Sometimes I don't even know where I put it. And I have preachers come and visit me. People come for prayer, husband and wife. My stuff is everywhere. I have confidence in the Lord. If I got to hide stuff from you, you can't come to my house. If you hide stuff from me, I'm not coming to your house. You ought to have so much confidence and trust that I'm who God said I am. Man, I'm talking to you. Go to 1 Timothy. Let me give you another scripture. Let's go to Philippians. Let's go to Philippians. I just had to see that scripture. I just got a couple more I want to give you because the apostle gave this to me. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Listen to what Paul said. Philippians. Glory to God. Chapter 1. She says, I have confidence in the Lord. You get some stuff, man. You're going through some stuff. Man, I just had examination, a test on my heart. They put the thing, they call it a snake. They put up my arm and went across my chest and came down by my heart. And I was laying on the table. And since 2017, I had a 75% blocking and a 35% blocking. It should have been worse. Because they couldn't put a stent in because where I had the blockage was behind my heart. It was bad. He only told me about one, and I went to Africa to preach. When I came back, he told me I had another. He didn't want to tell me. And the blockage began to shrink. But when I had the test just a couple of weeks ago, the doctor said, we don't need to do nothing. We're going to just change one of the medication, the heart medication, one medication. He said, we'll clean your the blockage up. He said, the blockage haven't got any worse. Why? Because my confidence is in God. I believe that God has called me out the crack house into his glorious house to do a work for him. And I cannot go from here until I complete my assignment. I don't care what the devil do. I don't care what he bring against me. I cannot leave here till I complete. Many people must be saved through the word that God gave it, put inside of me. They must see the love of Christ. See, the key is the love, not the preaching and hell and you all that preaching. Preaching is some stuff and don't have no love for nobody. Full of hate inside of you. I talk about homosexual and lesbian and teasing, and I talk about dried queens, and I talk about prostitutes, and I talk about homosexuals, I talk about lesbians, I talk about fornication, adultery, but I love the sinner. I got a family member that is a lesbian. I love her, but I hate her sin. I hate the sin. I got folk that smoking cocaine and shooting methamphetamines. I hate that, but I love them. And I'm going to preach against sin all the time. Well, because I was the greatest one. I was the biggest one. And God delivered me, and I always say, if he delivered me, and I know he did, he can deliver anybody. So I would take time talking to people about Jesus, not about their sin, because they already know they're sinning. Somebody say, you got to tell them about sin. No, because you're going to run them from them. They already know they're sinning. Tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. Tell them about what he delivered you from, the kind of life you used to live. So they will look at their own selves. They see their sin then. Tell them how you was fornicating, adultery, and you lying, cheating, stealing, all that. Tell them about yourself and how God sent his son to die on the cross. And his shed blood washed you from all that stuff, washed up all of that stuff off of you. Now you're shining like a new light bulb. As Paul says, and I am convinced and sure of this very thing. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Amplified Bible. He said, I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you, in me, will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing the good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. See, when you know this, oh God have mercy. When you know this, you begin to live different because you understand, glory, I feel like, oh my God. You understand that something is happening to you that never happened before. God is working in me. God is working in you. God is working in us. From the crack house to God house. From the whole house to God house. From selling your body to now, oh God, giving yourself as a sacrifice to God by serving his people. Go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Maybe two more scriptures I'll give you, and I jump over here and give this to Bishop James. Psalm 34, I just feel the anointing of this word. The Lord is blessing me right now with this sweet word. He's just blessing me right now. I don't have a lot. And I testify that I don't have a lot, but I have Jesus. And I believe that he's more than enough. Because I'm not focused on materialistic things. I'm focused on this wretched life that I have. I want God to make this life. I want God to make this life the life that he is pleased of. Psalm 34, verse 14. See, we got to get to that place, people. Because you and I, us, believers in Christ Jesus, we got to get to that place that we become so confident. Don't push your chest up like you all that. When your chest become high, you can't see your heart. You can't see your feet. You can't see where you're walking. You begin to talk things and say things out of your mouth like you all that, the bag of chips and the Pepsi Cola. And it grieves God because God wants us to be humble. He wants people to see him in us. That's why he says, to let your light so shine that men will see your good works. When we think that our chest is so high and that we look like we got it together, people just look at us as puffed up. And they ostracize us because they say we think we're more than they are. I'm saying this weeping right now because the God that I serve loved us so much that he gave his precious son to just watch over us. He died watching over us. Psalm 34 and verse 14. Turn from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. That's verse 13. Let's read that verse 13 again. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. That was not the verse I had pulled up, but God, my eyes focus in on that. Verse 14 says, depart from evil and do good. Seek, inquire for, and crave peace and pursue. Go after it. This is when we recognize that we are, our confidence is in God. We are seek the things that God has prepared for us. It's on the table that he's prepared for us, even in the presence of our enemies. He anoints our head with oil, and he causes our cups to overflow because our confidence is in him. Oh, God, I thank you. Give to Psalm 37. I give this last, very last. God knows the last. There's many more I want to give you, but the Lord just will stop me. Let's go to Psalm 37. I give you one verse there. And you can look at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4, Proverbs 14 and 24, Proverbs 16 and 31, Proverbs 17 and 6. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Psalm 37. This is the last scripture I'm going to give you. The Lord has just given me what I needed today. I hope you got something out of this. Psalm 37, 37 and 27. Glory to God. It's the word of God, not David. It's the word of God. He said, depart from evil and do good, and you will dwell forever securely. This is an Amplified Bible. See, when we know that we are confident in God, I hear you, Holy Spirit. Something happened inside of us that makes us, I told you the story about me getting with the ring from, that I was going to use the sheet to get it from Amazon, but that was not me. It was the devil talking to my flesh. And God, because of who I am in him, God did not allow me to perform that, to go and do that. And I know a lot of people do that kind of stuff. They take stuff and say, well, I need a shoestring. I can't get a shoestring. Some kind of foolishness. And they'll buy another set and then send it back with one or another something. And they got the good stuff. But when you put your trust completely in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit will not let you walk in that wrong place. It will not let you do the wrong thing because he loves us so much. He said, depart from evil and do good, and you will dwell forever securely. You'll be protected. You'll be shielded. Remember, we tell you the second scripture we give tonight is the name of the Lord is a strong tower, 18 and 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they're saved. See, this is where your confidence, our confidence is once we know that we know that we know that we know that we belong to him. We trust him with all our heart and we lean not to our own understanding. All our ways we acknowledge him and he continues to direct our path. Because we are not trusting in human attitudes or human way of thinking. We are trusting him to do for him, for us, you and I, for us, what we can't do for ourselves. If we trust in ourselves, we will find ourselves doing things that we normally wouldn't do and shouldn't do. Because the flesh wants to do some stuff. Let me tell you something. The flesh wants to do some stuff that the spirit don't want to do. That's why we got to keep that flesh under subjection. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. We pray today that even as we have delivered this word, that we have made the apostle Jefferson happy. And when she do hear this word, she'll see what the Lord has done with the Psalm 46 that she has given to us today. And we work that psalm as though she was here working it. We just pray that God has said something today through us, because we could not have done what we did today without the help of the Holy Spirit. And we did it knowing that God loves us and God have a great need of the people to come together with confidence and trusting in his son to do what his son has ordained for us to do, to live holy, to be the people of God that will
live a lifestyle that honor God. Because that's what it's all about. Paul said in his flesh, his body, his flesh dwells no good thing. You know, we can get around. We can act like we got it all together. And if that's your attitude, it would take you straight to hell. But Lord, you know that you have confidence that you need the God that went to the cross and laid down his life for you. You're going to come out all right. Listen to me. You're going to be all right. But you got to know that. The airways is blessed right now with the word of God. Bishop, come on in and do a prayer of salvation. I've been weeping, so my nostrils are dripping now, so I got to go clear them. Come on in, Bishop.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to your holy name, Heavenly Father. Oh, God, I'm so happy to hear that there's so many people that heard this message today that I'm happy to hear that in my heart, that in my spirit, that so many people will accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior today. And I urge you strongly, strongly to do so. Yeah? Only one way, and that is Jesus, the way. He is the way. Now, if you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior before, please take this opportunity. Because, like I said yesterday, I'm a weather and a news person. There's like, I forgot how many I told the pastor just now, but there's like, oh God, must be 1,300 people who have perished because of a massive earthquake. No warning. Buildings collapsing, everything. People caught in the building, people running away, falling on vehicles. It was horrible. It was horrible. But these people, they don't believe in living God. Apparently they don't. They have temple monkeys all type of elephants and bulls and cows walking all over the street and idolizing all these things, rats. It's sad. And you have Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's all we need. It's the only way. And if you read your word, you'll see that. Now, in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, and the word says, what does it say? And here's a key. The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's on your lips. You must speak it. That's why it's said like that. Because the enemy cannot read your mind. He can inject thoughts, but he can't read your thoughts. He can't read your mind. Only God can. Now, if you believe that Jesus Christ, with obedience to the Father God in heaven, came down to earth as a man, came through the body of a woman, come down as a human being, and suffered, died, preached the word of God, he was crucified unmercifully, with thorns and a crown of thorns that they placed on his head, drove nails through his hands and his wrists, nailed through his feet, pierced his side with a sword, spear. Some Bible says sword, some say spear. Nevertheless, they pierced his side, puncturing the heart, and the water and blood came out. Salvation, water and blood. My God. Thank you, Jesus. You believe this, and if you believe that Jesus died for our sins and that on the third day God rose him from the dead, hallelujah, for his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Jesus, all he wants us to do is to repent. Do not return to the way you were living. Repent. Live holy as I am holy. Be ye holy as I am holy. That's scripture. That's God's words, not mine. Repent, every one of you. Okay. And you must forgive anyone who you have caused to sin, or anyone you sinned with, any sins, and anything you have against your brother or sister. And I say sister because some people nowadays think if they say brother, I think you're talking about just a man, you know, talking about mankind. If you have never asked forgiveness of someone, then ask that forgiveness. Even if that person has crossed over, ask forgiveness through Christ Jesus for whatever you caused that person to cause, to push them into a fight or whatever. Just forgive them for whatever sin they have committed. If they've stole something from you, forgive them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are material things. And once we cross over, all those things are going to remain right here on this earth until the earth is gone. So the earth is no more. Those things will be no more. But our eternal salvation is what we're striving for. If you believe that God raised him from the dead on the very day, you are now saved. Every sin you've ever committed is forgiven you. Just don't go back. That's why I say repent. And your next step is to be baptized. And Peter was baptizing people, and he told the multitude, repent, every one of you, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And it will be well with you and with your children and all who are far off who are called by the Lord. And also, in the book, that's the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 38 to 41. And also in the book of Acts, it clearly states in the book of Acts, that you must, chapter 4, and you must listen to this. Read from 10 to 4, chapter 4, verses 10, 11, and 12. Okay. It says, there's no other name mentioned among men that you should be saved by other than Jesus Christ. It's the only one. You can read from, as I say, Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, and it does not state to be baptized under any other name. Name, not title, name. Please get that revelation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, congratulations to everyone who's accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Anyone who was backslidden and have rededicated their lives, I'm proud of you, brothers and sisters. I'm proud of you and looking forward to seeing you when we get our heavenly reward, and all you who have received Jesus as your Savior today. Mm-hmm. God bless each and every one of you. And once again, we're going to ask God to bless Pastor Millie and her family, and bless her sister that she may survive and come back as a living testimony to everyone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor, it's back to you, sir.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop. Thank you for the prayer of salvation. And we thank God. We pray for Pastor Millie this morning before we went on. And we know all is going to be well.
Amen.
Because in the Lord, all is well in the Lord. So
yes,
the line is open. We had about 10 people on this morning. Well, they heard the word, and they jump off. But we're glad they heard the whole word.
Hallelujah.
They know that word was right on time.
Amen.
It was right on time. So the line is open to anyone that want to respond. It is open. If nobody want to, Brother Bishop, just go ahead and pray and close us out.
Okay. In the strength of the Lord.
Praise the Lord and good afternoon, saints of God.
Good afternoon, Apostle.
Praise the Lord, Apostle.
Praise the Lord, Apostle and Bishop, and we're praying right along with you all for Apostle Millie and our sister. We just pray that God bring healing, deliverance in her life, and that she will spring back with a testimony. That was some powerful words, Apostle, that you ministered on this morning, a powerful, powerful word. And you say it so many things. Sometimes you say so many things that you can't remember what to even comment on. So many things be coming at you, you know. Good word, awesome word, wholesome word, and word of healing and deliverance and salvation, as Bishop began to let folk know that neither is there salvation than any other. But there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the way,
and
the life, and no man come to the Father but by him. Praise God. That's the word. And as I was listening, that apostle ministered that word, and he mentioned about Jesus being in the boat. He kind of tickled me a little bit, apostle. The word, it was powerful, but yet it was something to think about, because in that boat, and it was, you know, the lightning flashing and, you know, thundering and thinging, you said about the water hitting up against the boat, and I could see these big old waves coming and going into the boat, because I get a picture of when I hear apostle or anyone minister the word, I get a picture of what they're saying, and how that water went into the boat, and it was almost full, and the disciples, you know, they made their way to Jesus, and they were shaking him, and they was hitting him. And apostle, you said something that tickled me. You said, I don't know if you paid real attention to what you said. Said they were hitting him, and they were pushing him, and they were pinching him. And that's the first time I ever heard that they were pinching him. In other words, they were doing everything they could do to wake him up, because they knew that he was on board, the captain was on board, and they knew that he would have an answer for the situation that they were in, even though the answer was right there within them. But the problem was that they wasn't using the faith like they should have been using the faith. And because they could have caused the storm to cease. You know, sometime we've been out and it's been raining hard and thinking, we say, Lord, you know, if you just stop this rain, you know, this lightning and thundering, it's something I got to do. I got to pay this bill. If I don't pay this bill, this going to get cut off, or that's going to get gone. You got to do it, you know. And all of a sudden the rain just stopped. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because we used our faith. And we prayed and we made it happen by way of the Holy Ghost and power. Not so much us, but God answering our prayers, because he said, before you call, I'll answer. And while you are yet speaking, I will hear. So a powerful word. And again, it was so many different things that you spoke on. You know what I'm saying? That was so powerful on today. Right now, everything is just not coming to me, because a lot of good things were said. Now, one thing you said, boy, that lawnmower was not going off. You know, when you get to talking about God, I tell you, you got to try to get lost to your environment, because if you don't, the enemy, the grass, somebody go to cutting grass, they go to doing this, horns go to honking, everything go to happening when you're trying to listen from God so that you could speak or have something that you could say. But you were talking about you know, people being puffed up and being high-minded, and you were saying, you know, how that God had humbled you, you know, and that so many people think more higher than they ought to think, and that is so true. I knew it's right here in Louisiana, and I went to a church one time not long ago, and the bishop, you know. And I'm not going to use his name. I'm going to use another name. But I'm just going to say Kennedy. I'm just going to use the last name, Kennedy. And, of course, as minister, I'm just going to say Bishop Kennedy. So Bishop Kennedy would say, can nobody beat a Kennedy? You know, oh, wait a minute. We're not competing against each other. Can't nobody beat a Kennedy? You know, we're not competing against one another. Other words, we're contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. You know, we're trying to hold up one another's hand. We're not trying to tear one another down. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then so a little protege that come from under him had the opportunity to get up and preach another time. And then he said the same thing that his bishop said, but he used his own name. This time I'm going to say Taylor. You understand? Because I just don't want to use people name, you know, you never know who's listening in and what have you. But still, you know, can't nobody be the tailor. Now he come back, he wanna be like a chip off the old block. But the thing about it, You know, when you're following a high-minded spirit, and you know, and that spirit get into the other one, and he's speaking the same thing the other one speaks, they don't realize this is not about man. High-minded and being puffed up. When we see people in the Bible being high-minded and puffed up like what you was talking about today, Apostle Kanda, you understand, people got to come down or God will bring them down.
That's
you
right.
Understand what I'm saying? He got a way to bring them down. He brought Paul down, you know, on his back so that he could look up. You know, of course, he took that same Paul, that same Saul, and he used him for the glory and honor of God. You know, Saul got saved, not on the road to Damascus, after going into Damascus and Ananias having that assignment, you know what I'm saying, to win him unto the Lord. Even the scales fell from his blinded eyes, and his blinded eyes came wide open. You understand? He was filled with the Holy Ghost, and of course, he arose and was baptized, calling on the name of the Lord as well. So we know he was baptized in Jesus' name and went on to baptize others. And that's what Bishop was talking about. Neither is there salvation than any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So after listening to all that, and then, Bishop, I heard you say something about a ring of so many carats of gold, diamonds or something it was. But when you're speaking, you're always talking about what God has done and how God give you God gets the glory. You understand what I'm saying? We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony and love not our lives unto the death, but we always are talking about what God did, what Jesus did. And if anything we do, all the glory and honor go to God and not ourselves. So we are never to think more higher than we ought to think. But again, this same preacher gets in the pulpit and he talks about this this diamond ring that cost $10,000. You know what I mean? Look, you got diamond ring cost way more than that. I think Kobe Bryant, I think it was, bought a diamond ring. I think that one cost maybe a couple of $1 million. I'm not sure what it was, but I know it was way, way up there. It cost a lot of money. Could have done a lot of things with all that money. But anyway, that's what he desired to do. That's what he wanted to do. He had the money to do it, and he got what he wanted to get. But that my point is this. This bishop was boasting about a ring that, that he had bought for $10,000. This ring, he thought that was big, you know. $10,000 ring. And never once gave God the glory. Never once said, this is what God blessed me with.
Excuse me. That wasn't the bishop. That was the apostle's calendar. Said he had a ring with 24 diamonds in it.
Oh, no. I don't know if you misunderstood what I said. I said I heard Apostle Kanda talked about the diamonds with what he had. You understand?
Oh, yeah.
But whenever he's talking about what he has, he never talks boast about what he has, that, you know, he got this on his own, that God,
didn't have
anything to do with this. I did this all by myself. I understood that clearly.
Oh, yeah.
But what
yeah,
I was
yeah.
talking about with this other bishop, listen to me good, Bishop, this other apostle, he was talking about, you know, how he bought this $10,000 ring. We're looking at it like it was so big.
Yeah.
But he never gave God the glory once. You know what I'm saying? Like Kobe Bryant, he's not one that's, you hear him talk about God. You know, I never did before he died. I never did hear Kobe talk about, you know, whatever he got, you know, and whatever he did. I never heard him say one time, God blessed me with this. God did this. God did that. So what I'm saying here is supposed to be a man of God. I'm not talking about Apostle Kanda. Apostle Kanda give God the glory and honor and the praise for whatever he doing, whatever he has.
Amen.
You know, we
understand
that, you know, Bishop. But what I'm talking about is this other apostle who bought this $10,000 diamond ring, and he never gave God the glory. He was always boasting about nobody could beat a such and such a one. By the last name, I forgot the name I even used. Nobody could beat, I'm just going to say, a singleton. Nobody could beat a singleton. This is not about trying to outdo nobody and me have more than what you have, and I got a bigger jet than what you have, you know what I'm saying, a bigger house. No, that's not what this is about. You know what I'm saying? This is, listen, Jesus' ministry was on the street. sometime in the synagogues, as you know, but on the street, on mountainsides and mountaintops, valleys below, wherever they had souls, that Jesus was about winning souls, and he always, you know, gave glory to his Father, not even to himself in the flesh, you know, but to his Father in the spirit. You understand what I'm saying? He said, I could do nothing except my Father, you know, do it through me, or give me the power, the anointing, or the spirit to do it. You know, Jesus didn't even take the glory. You understand? As a man, see? But I'm saying how these high-minded people, puffed-up minded people, you understand, they get a few things, and they don't give God the glory. You know, and I'm just getting to the point, boy, I'm telling you, you know, it's all about Jesus. Well, it's been all about Jesus. But the point, what I'm saying, you can't really do nothing without giving him the glory. Yesterday, God gave me a sermon to give to the people, and I'm telling you, it was all God. You know, it wasn't me. I just was a tool in his hand, you know what I'm saying, an instrument of righteousness, I might say, you know, for God to use to fix particular situations, broken situations in the lives of other people. You understand what I'm saying? And on yesterday, I'm telling you, that word of God came forth. I give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. So many things came forth in that service, and the people was just praising God and magnifying God. And notice what I said, they was magnifying and praising God, not me. You understand? And that's the way we have to be. But some of these preachers, I'm telling you, apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, you know, they just didn't got out the box. They think it's all about them, that they're doing what they do. They're not even giving God the glory. They might have started off giving God the glory when they were small, but many of them got big now, and now they're not giving God the glory. It's all about them, what they're doing, you know. And this is what I'm saying. It's a dangerous thing to not give God the glory and think that it's us when we do things, because he can bring us down and he could do it quick, or he could build us up and he can do it quick, you know. So we've got to give him the glory, the honor and the praise and all that we do and all that we say. You know what I'm saying? So I just thank God for having the opportunity to be humble, you know, and wait on him to promote us, because he's in the business of promoting, you know, and promotions don't come from the north, east, the south, and the west. They come from God. So if we stay humble and be faithful in the little that we have, he will make us rulers over much. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it is. You know, if we want to be rulers over much, if we want to do more, we got to get ready to do more suffering as well. You understand what I'm saying? When that rich young ruler, that was one of the things that I said on yesterday, giving God the glory. When that young ruler came running, he came running and fell on his knees before Jesus. He didn't even come stand upright before Jesus and still didn't know who Jesus was, because he wasn't calling him God. He was calling him master. In other words, he was calling him teacher. He didn't even know who he fell out on his knees before. And he came and ran and fell down on his knees. Think about this now. Here's a ruler, rich young ruler, probably was a young king, run and fell down on his knees before Jesus and say, good master, what must I do to receive eternal life? And Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. See, so he's falling down on his knees before Jesus. He's saying that Jesus is good, and Jesus is saying there's none good but God. But he didn't realize, I'm talking about the young ruler, he didn't realize, you understand, that he was falling down before God in the flesh. See, God personified in the person of Jesus Christ. He didn't realize who that was he was falling before. He just thought it was a good teacher or something that was going to tell him or teach him, you know, what to do or how to get to heaven. That's all he was looking at. And not only that, his knees bowed before Jesus. And you know the Bible said that every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess, whether in heaven or earth or under the earth, is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, to the glory and honor of God the Father. But again, he didn't know his knees was bending before God in the flesh. He didn't know he was saying, calling him good because he was God. You understand? He just was looking at him like a good teacher. And then he went on, Jesus went on to tell him what he needed to do in order to enter. you know, there may be another a sermon somewhat today, but it wasn't intended like that or to be that. I'm just being led, you know, to say these few things, and I'm almost finished. So what happens is he began to, you know, Jesus began to tell him all of the different things that he needed to do if he wanted to make it in. You know, how you got to, keep the Sabbath day, you know, live holy, live a clean life, do all of these things, keep the commandments, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not, you know, all of these different things that he shouldn't do and the things that he should do. And he said, well, good master, I've kept this from my youth. Boy, you know, you could get a picture of him getting happy right there. You know, I kept all these from my youth. Boy, I know I'm going to make it in. But Jesus said, wait a minute. You're still lacking one thing. You know, go and sell all that you have, and whatever monies you get from it, you know, give that away. Give that to the poor. The Bible says he became sorrowful in his heart, you know, and it didn't stop right there. And then Jesus said, and pick up your cross and follow me. Let him know that this way is a way of suffering. You understand? Now, if you come by way of suffering, you make it. If you come by way of putting me first and putting your eyes on me and not your gain, and all of a sudden, he said, you know, the young ruler just got up and did what? Walked away sorrowful because he had much gain. Boy, and I'm telling you, there's so many people that's not giving God the glory. They don't want to depart from the things that they have, and they're not selling the thing that they have so that they can see, because a lot of things that they had, it costs a lot of money that could have been used to do some other things. I'm talking about good things that Jesus came to do. You know, he came to bring life and life more abundantly. He came to heal the sick, you know, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, you know, you know, help the poor and all these things. That's what Jesus came to save souls for the kingdom of God and for the name. This is why he came, you understand, to deliver, to set free, to save, to redeem. All of these things, this is what Jesus came for. You know, but people that's holding on to riches, rather to hold on to their riches, you know, and notice what Jesus said to that man. He said, you know what? He said, you could gain eternal life if you do the thing that I tell you to do. You understand? Because you'll receive the riches of heaven. Now, you're getting rid of the riches that's on earth, but you're going to receive greater riches, you know, the riches that are in heaven. But yet, look at what he did. He chose the riches on earth. So he chose the filthy rags, because they said that's in heaven. You understand? This, the riches on this earth, you know, can't even be compared. You know, any comparison, it's like, what, filthy rags compared to what we're going to receive in heaven, where it's no sickness, no pain, no death, no disease. You know, and so when you think about that like that, this man was gaining the gain or his possessions that he had that he didn't want to get rid of, and they were like filthy rags. You know what I'm saying? Dirty mildew rags, filthy torn rags, you understand? And he held on to that because he thought that was the best that there was when the best was yet to come. Isn't that something? So the thing is like Apostle Callender was saying earlier about we ought not to think more higher than we ought to think. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus loved the lowly in heart, the meek. You know, he tells you in Beatitudes, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. You know, and so on and so on through those Beatitudes and things. So that's all I wanted to say. Now, it's a lot of things that Apostle Callender said that I wanted to comment on, but that's one of the things that caught my attention, how people try to think more higher than what they ought to think. And if a man thinking himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. You know, so that's one thing we don't want to do. We don't want to deceive ourselves, but we want to always do the things that's pleasing in the sight of God. Amen. That's basically all I want to say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Apostle. Thank you. You said a lot. Glory to God. But, you know, I wasn't going to minister today. This was supposed to be Apostle Miller was going to bring the word. And Then I got the message that she had a rush to the hospital with her sister. I said, okay, well, the word still got to go forth.
Right.
But I'm not going to change. The Lord didn't allow me to change the word, so I said, I'm not going to change the word. So I said, I would do just what she was, what she had, the same subject, and work it, that the Holy Spirit do what he can do, what only he can do. And he break it down for us, and we release it the way he give it to us. And that's what it was all about, you know. So we had a good time with that word. A word really touched me in a special way. I tell you no lie, touched me in a special way.
Oh, yeah.
I was hearing the Holy Spirit speak to me.
Mm-hmm.
It touched me in a special way, Apostle. I started weeping.
Yeah, it touches you like that sometimes. Think about how good God is and how he sent us, how we nothing without him. We can't help but weep about the goodness of God, you know?
He's just so miraculous and so merciful, you know. It's very hard for me, Apostle, even sometimes, as a minister of the gospel, it's just very hard for me to even believe that God chose me.
Oh,
you know, it's very hard.
Oh my God!
And
that's
I'm not saying that to sound eloquent or anything.
I broke the other day. Broke the other day thinking about that. What you're saying. All of the things we've been through and the things we did, yet he was that merciful and that loving. And, you know, sometimes we say, Lord, you know, why me? Because we think about a good friend, some best friends, and the things they went through, the things they suffered, how they checked out of here and the way they checked out here. You know what I'm saying? Some with their liver all messed up, some with, you know, alcoholics and drug addicts and, you know, we could have went that way too, you know, because we was into that, but God delivered us. And we said, Lord, you know, it's sort of like the, you know, that potter, you know what I'm saying? Something that was like halfway finished, halfway done or something, and then the beautiful pot. You know, the pot can't say, you know, of clay can't say, you know, Lord, you know why you made me beautiful like this. And the other piece that wasn't finished couldn't complain and say, why you left me like this? Why? Because the potter does it the way he want to do it. We can't question him.
Yeah, he wants to. Yes.
You know, it's like, Lord, you know, I don't feel worthy to be used, you know, but at the same time, he did it, you know. He did what he wanted to do with us, you know. I agree about it. Yeah.
Like just a couple of weeks ago, when I went and had the heart test, and when the doctor began to say, he says, we don't have to put a stent in you. I'm just going to have your cardiologist just change one medicine. Medicine, you know. And he says, you'll be all right. And then I was the first person that went on that table the morning. But the second person that went on the table was a younger man than me. And the doctor said to him, after he got off the table, the doctor told him, he said, look, we can't do nothing for you. He said, I'm going to have to send you to a specialist because they're going to have to replace one of your arteries or something like that. But they have to open his chest. And I was laying there on the bed. Because they was looking at my heart rate and all that stuff. And they said, well, just stay there and wait because you're on anesthesia and stuff like that. But I was thinking to my wife, my wife was sitting right there. I said, you know, God is good. I said, because look at that man. He's a younger man than me. And look, they got to open his chest. And it's 100% surety that when they open his chest that he's going to be alive. He could cross over. You understand? I said, but look at God keeping us here. And not only that, I said, but look at God didn't even let the blockage that I had get any worse. Matter of fact, it got better. the blocker they had got better.
Got better.
You know,
got better. Better. Look at
him. They didn't even have to try to put a stench in. He said, "There's no need to try to put a stench in you."
Awesome. Awesome.
So they give
awesome.
Me, they give me a pill that I got to take. That pill, this pill to give me, my doctor write for me. I take that pill twice a day, and he said that's gonna dissolve a little bit of plaque that you got there now. And I just couldn't stop praising God. I just couldn't stop praising.
Hallelujah.
You know, and
yes,
what I was doing,
yes.
I was laying on the bed. I was laying on that table, and before they even did anything, I said, no, I don't want you all to do nothing. It's two doctors, three nurses. I said, I don't want you all to do nothing. No disrespect. I said, but I got a prayer for us.
Yes.
I said,
yes.
So if anything goes wrong, I wanted, the last thing that I did when I had to talk with my daddy.
Pray to talk to God.
This is no problem, sir. No, sir. Go ahead and pray. And they stayed right there with me while I was praying. And then everything went smooth. Everything went smooth.
Oh,
they had no problem. Yeah, no problem. So I tell you,
yes,
Lord, and I weep.
It reminds me of an old lady that's in my ministry, Apostle. She's 93 years old. She's about to make 94 in another month or two. She's just about to make 94. She's sharp as a tack. I'm telling you, she go up and down steps. She drive across the Mississippi River Bridge, back and forward, go make her own groceries, go do whatever she wants to do. But I tell you, every month when that lady, you know, she got a store of blessings, you know, coming from husband that she married in the military, you know, that, you know, she get something there. And then, of course, for her age and thing, and she worked all of her life, you know what I'm saying? She was an entrepreneur and thing. But I say that to say this, very, very independent, 93 years old, and that's the way she is. I mean, she will put God first in everything she does. When she get her checks and things, she take the tithes out from the top, and she'll tell you, because she told me. She said, I will not put a piece of bread in my mouth before I take my tithes off the top of what I get. You know, because that she's a tither. You know, she loves to tithe. She loves to put God first. And she gives offerings. That's just the way she is. But she'll tell you she will not put a piece of bread in her mouth before she pay her tithes and offerings. And she's been doing that for years and years. And that old lady is blessed. I mean, she never went in the hospital except to have babies and things. You know what I'm saying? Other than that, she never been in the hospital. Her body is healthy and strong. Well, she never did eat pork, Elder Apostle. She never did eat pork, and she never did drink alcohol, no kind of alcohol, beer, nothing. She don't even worry about eating a potato chip or anything. She's about her body being healthy. You know, she eat healthy food. She grow things in her yard. She grow them herself in her yard, you know, her gardens and different things that she have. And she got cactus, that she get cactus juice from her cactus and stuff that she drinks. And so many healthy things that she drink, okra juice and so many different things she talks about that keeps her up and going like that. And if you want to know something about health foods and stuff like that, boy, she can talk to you about that. She keeps up at 93 years old, almost 94. She keeps up with the Jewish feast days and stuff like that. All of them different Jewish feast days, she's all into that, you know. But yet she's baptized in Jesus' name, and she just loved the Lord. And she's that age, you know, so... That's what that reminds me of, what you're saying, Apostle. She just put God first, I mean, in all that she does and say. Her name is Elder Ruth Duncan. She was in the Muslims back then, 69, 70. She was in with that group there. One time I went to visit the mosque, and I saw her over there. And she told me how she remembered when I came over there and things. But she said she never got into that because of believing in Allah or Islam. She said she got into that to help her black people. You know, she always was an entrepreneur. She always wanted to help people, her and her husband. And But after she started hearing about Jesus Christ, and all, not only that, but these Muslim women, these young ladies, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 years old, was coming in, that some of those brothers was calling their little black queen and stuff like that. You know, they was doing things they had no business to do to these young ladies and stuff. And by this old lady that I'm talking about being the number one sister that was in the mosque here in New Orleans, in a mosque here in New Orleans, she was the number one sister. She sold the bean pie. She still know the recipe, the original recipe of the bean pie. She sold clothes. She bought clothes. She did things for the you know, that organization, you might say. And what happens is these young girls was coming to always complaining about what the brothers was doing them and stuff. You know, and then she had to talk to them to try to keep their mind, their head on their shoulders, right? And then eventually she just said, look, I'm getting out of this. You know, these folk are not right, which she didn't really get into it for believing in Islam, because she, you know, been really believing in Jesus Christ for years, and since she was a little girl. Say she was brought up believing in Jesus Christ, but she didn't know about the oneness. She didn't know about being baptized in Jesus' name and all, and getting the Holy Ghost and thing. And so, you know, now, you know, this is what she's come into now. She's been into this now way back now, what, 70? No, 80. About 80, I want to say 83 or something like that. She came into this in 83 because I remember I baptized her at the church I came out of. She had heard my apostle ministering the word on radio. He's on radio, TV, across America and around the world. And she heard him, I believe, on the radio. And she came over. I remember when she came over. And I remember seeing her. It's the same lady that was at the mosque, and she remembered me as well. And I had the opportunity to baptize her. And, of course, she's been into this ever since. And then when my apostle died, I did his funeral. And when his wife died, I did her funeral too. And she wanted to have somewhere to fellowship. She came unto me because she knew I was preaching holiness. She knew I was living a clean life and was giving God the glory in everything that I was doing and saying. And she is a woman that loved the Lord, a woman of holiness, and she just didn't want to go on to all these different preachers and stuff. So she said, well, I know what you preach. I heard you preach over there by Bishop, so I'm coming over and getting with you. And been with me ever since, you know?
Wow. So been, that's awesome.
Yeah. She make 94 next month, Apostle. Still
wow.
Driving.
Yeah.
Down steps, you know, because her house is on pilots. You know, those posts, what they put the house on, build a house on the posts. Her husband built that house. And see, because in that area, if that canal or that little, what it is, it's not big as a, you might, it's almost like a bayou or a canal, but it's bigger than a regular canal. I mean, if it overflow, if it busts or something, that water come in where they at might get about 4 feet deep. You know what I'm saying? Possibly 5 feet deep. So, she's on posts that's up there. Her house is at least seven, 8 feet off the ground. You know. And she up and down them steps every day. Got some energy, I tell you.
That's what's keeping her healthy. Them steps.
Right, up and down, and health is I don't know what, you know. And I talk with her, and she got scriptures, she got tablets after tablets. So I'm talking about tablets she go by, and she fill out those tablets with scriptures because a lot of times she's just there, you know, just and she run reference. She run one reference to another reference to another reference, and she got so many scriptures. And I tell you, she know that Bible pretty well, you know.
Wow.
A lot of wisdom, Apostle.
That is awesome. I was watching an old lady last night on YouTube, African American. She's 100 years old. And they were celebrating her birthday from somewhere down south, and the lady that had this lady from some news station was interviewing her, and she asked her, how did she make it to 100? What did she do? Did she look so good? I tell this woman, Apostle, she was standing up straight, and she wasn't like, you know, some older people can't remember nothing. Man, she was right sharp, 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 sharp. She said, I will tell you what I did. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. She said, and number one thing, I pray in the morning. She said, and I pray in the night before I go to sleep on my knees. She said, and I start my morning when I wake up on my back, I pray to God. And then I fall on my knees. She said, and I eat good food. I didn't eat a lot of sweets. She says, eat a lot of green stuff, a lot of vegetables. She said, I didn't drink no alcohol or drink no wine. She said, if I drink wine, it was for communion. She was there. I was laughing. But I looked at her and said, Lord, I just wanted to make that woman when I get old be so sharp, so sharp. 100 years old. And Apostle, she wasn't searching for a word like she was forgetful or nothing like that. She was right on time. Right on time. Anyway, Bishop, go ahead and pray and close us out.
Bye. May the Lord bless and keep us. May the Lord shine his face upon us and give us God be all the glory, honor, and praise for each and everything, every day, every second, every heartbeat. Remember, Jesus is the only way.
See, yes, he is.
All of you tomorrow, and Lord, I'm so grateful to be here. I'm so grateful. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Bishop.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who's preaching tomorrow, but we will be here anyway. The word is going to be on. Blog is going to be on.
Okay.
But thank you all. Thank you all. Thank you all. Thank you all. There's a lot of people on the line today. A lot of people from different states was on here today, but we just thank God. I have to go do something here that I need to do because I have some families in Africa that need my help, and I got to use this card here to try to send them some money. Till I get a couple of jobs. So I'll talk to you guys later. God bless you all. God bless you all.
God bless you.
Tell Millie and Pastor Millie, we are praying for her. We pray for her to start the message today. And we will pray for her and her family later in the day. Okay? God bless you all. And thank you all so much for your presence and for all that you do for the kingdom. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bless you. Bye-bye.
Amen. All right. Amen. Amen.